begins on June 27th. Go to the website. That's 8 class days over the course of 8 months, 1 day a month. Fabulous learning experience if you're in that mode. And then secondarily and near and dear to my heart is our signature executive program. That'll be kicking off July 11th. That lasts for a year, and it's 14 class days worth of the best leadership education you can get anywhere, kicked off with a one-week retreat taught by the absolute best teachers in America, we think. So if you're a young executive on your way up or even up there today and or aspiring to be up there, this is a great opportunity for you to learn about leadership and to get to know a lot of leaders from other companies, mostly here in Middle Tennessee. So go to the website and sign up, and I'll see you at the classes. Today, our topic is professional branding with our friend Mila Gregg, who's done a lot of teaching for us over the years. She's an absolute authority on the subject. She's a speaker. She's a writer. And this is a topic that I happen to be pretty passionate about. I see sometimes I see people working their way up the ladder, and they just don't know enough about how to dress, how to present themselves, how to talk, how to do other things. And sometimes that the failure to have that image, failure to brand yourself can sort of plateau you at places that you don't want to be. So today's topic is very interesting and sometimes very controversial. But with that, let me turn it over to my long-term friend and associate, the world-famous Mary Fink.
Thank you, Joe. And I'm especially excited about this program because Mila and I have been friends for a long time. And I know we first started calling what she was working on professional image. And I know that that has morphed into brand, which is now a buzzword everywhere. But I think, Mila, you were using it before everybody else was, and you've been in this business for a long time.
Yes, I'd like to think I was using it before everybody else, for sure.
Right, so let's just jump right in and have you tell me, if you can, define brand on both a personal level and a professional level. I know we talk about it as though those are two different things, and I think they are, but they have to be related.
Yeah, you know, your brand is really what people say, think about you when they think of you. So, you know, you have to ask yourself this. What do you want people to perceive about you when they hear you, whether on the phone or just walking down a hallway?
See your name pop up on the incoming call?
That's exactly right. What do they feel, right? What do they think about you? And then when they see you, that can be a LinkedIn picture or in person, and then when you send them an email, if you've written them something, what do they think of? How do they feel? And that, in essence, is your brand.
Yeah, what's the emotion?
Yes.
And as I always ask in class, who owns that brand? Is it me? Do I own my own brand?
Yeah, it's everybody else.
Yeah, it's what everybody else thinks.
Yes.
So how does that differ from a professional brand or a corporate brand?
Sure, the corporate brand, you know, people buy brands. Look at Amazon. They're buying Whole Foods. I mean, people are buying brands, not products or services anymore. We're truly buying brands. So,
and Walmart just bought Bonobo Pants.
I saw
and
that.
And I thought of you.
I bet you did, because I'm the hugest fan of Bonobo, and that's the feedback there has been varied, right? Mm-hmm. But people are buying brands, and as the retail market starts to switch, and that could be another topic for another day, people are buying brands. So corporate brand is, how do people feel about a brand? You can look at Chick-fil-A. They know what they're going to get. They know it's excellence. They know it's quality. They always know what they're going to get when they go there. And then you look at a brand like Macy's, their brand is up in the air. You don't really know what you're going to get anymore. Is it discount? Is it not? Not customer service. Now Nordstrom is in trouble. So a corporate brand is how is a brand, how are people, how do they perceive what they're going to get? Most companies have no idea. There's the rub, right? So you go into a corporation. That's how we got started. We said, what is your brand? And their answer would be, well, what do you mean? Is it our values? Or here are our mission. Here's our mission statement.
Or here's our tagline for our advertising.
Exactly. Here's our logo.
Yeah.
Right. That's not the brand. The brand is the emotion that emits. People are buying based, you know, per emotion. Now that's all they're doing.
Exactly.
So how do you feel about the brand?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Joe, talk to me about the Tractor brand.
The Tractor brand is built around taking great care of customers and being passionate about that and talking about that all the time. And having a culture that supports that kind of thing on an ongoing basis. For example, whenever we do something great, we always celebrate it. We always keep patting people on the back so that people feel good about what they've accomplished. And the more you celebrate a success, the more of it you'll get. And that's a big part of the brand. It's all about selling and selling is the name of the game in retailing, and we talk about it sort of ad nauseum. We always talk about it. You get up in the morning, the first thing you do is, how were your sales yesterday? You continually talk about that, and you celebrate every possible success.
Absolutely. So I have on the slide, why does it matter? And I guess rather than that, because I think we've talked a little bit about that, I would ask you, so if you go into a corporation or somebody calls you and they say, I need to do some brand work, is it possible for a company to not have a brand?
Well, no. Every company has a brand.
Exactly.
Right. Whether you're intentional or have been intentional about creating the brand, there's the question. So people are already thinking something. Even small entrepreneurial startups will say, well, tell us about the brand if you want us to train employees. And sometimes they'll say, well, we're not exactly sure what you mean.
Or we think we don't have one. And I think that's where the biggest challenge is some people just think, we haven't really worked on that, so we must not have one. You have one, mm-hmm. regardless of what you've done, intentional or not.
Yes.
And it can be good and it can be bad, but it can always be improved.
Certainly. The biggest problem that you have is when you have a company that says, we actually have a brand, and we're working with a company right now. They paid, you know, an advertising firm in New York hundreds of thousands of dollars to create a brand, and it's actually was done extraordinarily well. But their employees had no idea what it meant for them or why it mattered. So now you have employees that are acting a certain way or even talking a certain way, sending things out. Marketing is not being led by brand. Brand drives everything. So if you don't explain the brand to everybody in the corporation and just the head knows, failure is inevitable anyway. So.
Absolutely. And there's often a disconnect between corporate and the field. But also, even within corporate, a lot of times they're at your point about messaging. Mm-hmm. And I know, Joe, you have a comment about that because you've dealt with it, that whatever goes out from me is creating a brand. Whatever goes out from anybody that's in the corporation is creating a brand of some sort, mm-hmm. and we could have 1,000 brands out there.
Yes.
Joe.
The brand starts with the CEO. The CEO sets the direction for the organization, and the good CEOs are able to talk about the brand and talk about it in a very few words and talk about it over and over and over again. Tractor Supply, going to work hard, have fun, and make money. And we talk about that all the time. That's, we understand the brand. We're going to take care of our customers. We're going to always do the right things.
Yeah. I think sometimes we don't spend enough time talking about what that looks like. I think sometimes we put it out there. A lot of corporations will have it. They'll put it on the wall. They'll put it in writing, but they don't have that conversation around it. So people are not perfectly clear. And I know I'll tell one of your stories for you because I know that when new managers train, at Tractor Supply, they come in and they hear from senior leaders all week long. You don't bring in a lot of people from the outside. It's mostly inside leadership that's doing that training. And the reason for that is that you want to drill into every single person, here's who we are, and here's who you must be if you're going to be a part of us.
Yes, you spend a whole week there, you listen to everybody under the sun, so by the time you're taking over running your store, wherever it is, you don't have to look over your shoulder. You know the personalities, you know the brand, you know the direction, you know the mission and the values of the company.
Right. So, Mila, what are some of the elements of a brand? If you're going into an organization or you're just working with an executive who's wanting to up his game or her game, what are some of the elements that you work on? How do I identify the brand I have now? How do you go about that process?
Yeah, we do an in-person 360, so we go through a lengthy questionnaire, which tells us a little bit about the person, and then meeting them. And I've seen the movie Hitch with Will Smith.
Yes.
If anyone has ever seen that movie, you can say, I'm sort of the brand Hitch, and I will follow you around and take a look at how people are responding to you, look through your emails, your LinkedIn, everything that sends a message. Right? And that includes your wardrobe as well as an individual. And we want you to go through and mark where you think your brand words are. So we focus on brand attributes. What is your brand filter? Everything that somebody does, you say, I want people to associate the word excellence with me. Then we go, great. These are your three words for the filter, excellence being one of them. And everything else is sort of judged based upon your filter. Is it done with excellence? Is it done with integrity? What does that look like, sound like, feel like? How does that walk, talk, share ideas? And so we focus on the same thing with the corporations. It's establishing a brand filter. Some companies will have words. Others will have mission statement or values that may or may not be their brand, and we can sort of look through that. But more importantly, you have them written down, and you ensure that everybody knows what that means. The company says we do everything with excellence, and then you have the CEO that knows that, and you have the janitor that doesn't, and you're sunk. Everybody has to have the same. So you start with what are your brand filter words or brand filter statements, and everything else goes from there. Leadership training goes to the brand filter. Communication training goes to the filter. How you email goes to the filter. Brand drives culture. Brand drives training. Brand drives how you communicate to one another, the press, anybody that you need to communicate with. So we start with the filter, and then we go from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you ever talk about a real filter?
We do. I've even brought in, you know, air filters from Lowe's or Home Depot you put in your wall. Just to give our clients visuals, we've done that, and we've bought, you know, hundreds of them, and we take a Sharpie. It's very, very innovative here, a joke. But we take a Sharpie, and on the filter, we actually write what the brand attributes are, so they understand that everything goes through those words. But that doesn't mean you have to lose your own personal brand as well. You don't have to be a walking robot. You can build your own personal brand under that corporate brand umbrella. So really have to balance both.
As long as it's consistent.
As long as it complements the other, yes.
I neglected to mention when we started this off, but if you want to ask questions, you can anytime during the call, and we really appreciate the questions. *7 on your phone. Just interrupt us anywhere along the line. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can email them in over the website.
I think one of the saddest things is to join an organization and realize, maybe too late, that I didn't ask the right question. So I don't really understand the culture and the brand of the company. Or I get there and I realize it's very different than who I am personally. And then I have a choice to make. What do you suggest in those situations?
9.9 times out of 10, if your brand vision, values don't align with the corporation in most ways, typically our advice is start looking for something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very hard. You can't change a whole organization based upon what you want.
That's why it's so important to go in knowing it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't hang on with your clenching fist.
Don't think that it's going to get better,
right,
or that you're going to change it.
It won't happen.
Because it's not going to happen unless you went in as the CEO.
That's exactly right.
Yes. So does branding affect my company's success? I mean, I know you talk about linking success, and some of your own promotional material talks about this links to financial success, but how so?
Yeah, you know, the message that you send, we work with quite a few law firms and banks, personal service firms, and there are many of those law firms that are merging, and then they're struggling with who are we, what is our brand, and now we have four law firms that have merged. Everybody is sending a different message, and I can tell you with surety, based upon experience, not opinion, that disaster is going to come. Whether it's now or in a few years, your brand must be consistent, and it's consistent through your people. Without people, you have nothing. You can have wonderful marketing. You can, again, spend hundreds of thousands with an advertising firm, and it may look wonderful, and it may have the right colors and font, but without the people understanding the brand and really being trained and taught and told what the brand is and how to best represent themselves via the corporate brand, if you don't have that, it's just going to end poorly. And we've seen it happen time and time again. The brand is success. Without brand, you have nothing.
Can you give me an example?
Brand failure would be JCPenney.
Okay.
Brand failure would be Enron. You know, you have an integrity breach. Mm-hmm. Brand failure would be Wells Fargo, right? It's from the top down. Like
Volkswagen.
Volkswagen. It's tough.
It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I could go on and on, which is unfortunate, but.
But yeah. I wanna hit on some of the things that you talk about in the class, because I know sometimes that's a picture that I can't get out of my mind. And if I'm thinking about a group of CPAs and what's my thought about what I expect from a group of CPAs, Joe, what would be your first thing that you would think of for a group of CPAs? What attribute?
Well, obviously a very very laid back, very slow to talk, and very accurate about everything, and not necessarily very jovial.
Right.
Sorry, any of you CPAs on
the phone. Detail-oriented, accuracy, very much about getting it right and not leaving anything undone. So tell me about a disconnect there, because I know you have a story.
Yeah. Oh, you have to tell me which one.
Well, just about someone coming in looking like they're not that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, if you're a CPA firm in particular, you have a lot of competition, especially in the Nashville market, right? So if you're a CPA firm, economy is good. You're not really focused on building long-term relationships. You're sort of
leaning on the ones you've had forever, and you want to ensure that detail-oriented is a term that you associate with your brand. So everybody needs to look detail-oriented, act in a detail-oriented manner, get back to you, of course, within a 24-hour time frame. Everything that you do has to go through the filter. So if you walk in standing on your pants and your shirt's untucked and, you know, your belt is from 1985, at some point, not only are you not detail-oriented, you're not innovative. And most of us on the outside looking into an accounting firm that we're looking to hire visually, right, we've decided in a quarter of a second whether or not we can trust you. And basically they've said now within 2 minutes we've decided if we want to hire you. I've met a lot of people who are extraordinarily intelligent with a ton of experience who are either unemployed or not living up to their potential based upon small things that they're either doing with their image that isn't portraying a brand of detail-oriented or accurate, right? Everybody wants to be around someone that's excited, so that not jovial part. We talk about that a lot with CPAs. You have to be excited. You have to be passionate about what you're doing, right?
Yeah. Or at least personable.
Yes.
But one of the things I used to always teach at Tractor Supply is that you're a complete package. You know, it's all about how you dress, how you smile, how you shake hands, how you look at people, and you want to be. If you're an accounting firm, you want to represent the package you expect there. And if you're a farm store, the same thing. You're a complete package. And don't think that because you're real smart about something, you can dress like a slob. That doesn't work.
Right. And so often today we hear it's not how I look. It's what I can do. It's what I'm capable of. In a first impression, it's just the opposite. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Nobody will hear what you can do if your first impression is lacking.
So what's an example of why an executive would call you? Let's say somebody calls and says, you know, I'm disappointed because I've been passed over for a job. I think I'm very qualified. In fact, I've been told I'm qualified. Can you help me bridge that gap? Where would you start?
Yeah, typically if I've been passed over for opportunities, promotions, I'm not moving either, you know, I'm not moving to a different position that I want or I'm not being promoted, it's tough. That's why they call, and typically within the first 10 minutes, we've discerned why. And normally that has everything to do with how people perceive you, and 9 times out of 10 there are image updates that you can do immediately to fix that. And then you haven't communicated. You know, people want to communicate their brand on LinkedIn. They want to communicate it on email and all social media. And sometimes our focus in the business world is LinkedIn only, and they don't realize that you can be Googled. Right. So it's your entire brand. But most of the time, I have a great story about a guy at a Fortune 5. The board actually called us and said, hey, by the way, this person is up for promotion to C-suite. It's not going to happen. Okay, well, that's tough to hear, right?
Right.
This person is experienced. This person should be in the spot, already leading, in fact, a leader. But the image, the communication doesn't look like a leader. Nobody really trusts this person. And if you just met them within the first 2 seconds, you would never say leader. Therefore, not going to happen. And you think, wow, what a missed opportunity this person has. They're already doing the job. But because of small image or communication errors that they're not even aware of, there the opportunity goes. And that's millions of dollars lost in financial security for your family. And, I mean, it just goes all the way down. So we help and hopefully
update, upgrade, and create the brand.
So with that person, is that what you did?
Yes.
And it worked, and yes, they were promoted.
Okay.
I held my breath for a few months, and then I exhaled, and it was great. But, yes.
Excellent.
Exactly right.
So do I need to ask a colleague if I think, you know, how do I find out those things that I'm not aware of?
Yeah. It takes doing that in-person 360. So I would start with, what are my brand attributes? You can Google brand attributes, and they're going to give you a list, right? Start checking off the boxes that you want people to associate with you, these words, these adjectives. And then whittle it down to 10 if you can. 5 would be even better. 5 is always the goal. Then ask that same question to 10 people, whether it's old colleagues or family, husband and wife. That's always interesting and fun. But ask those people. You can ask parents, sisters, brothers, people you've worked with, people you currently work with, those you've known for 10 years and those you've known for 10 minutes. It's always good to get the perspective and then have them give you words. And we do this in your class.
Right.
Right. Have them give you their words, and if you're hitting 1 out of 5, okay, you're not totally failing at this, right? And it's 2 out of 5, 3 out of 5, you're doing great. So if you say, look, I want everybody to associate integrity with me,
and people say honest or trust, you know you're winning slightly.
But if you have 0 out of the 5 words that are being associated with you by at least 10 people, there's work to be done.
There's work to be done. And the other piece of that is I might be hitting the mark on those five words most of the time when I'm at work.
Yeah.
But when I leave work, I might be a different person, and we have to remember, particularly as we move up the ranks, that we are always on display. Leaders are always on stage.
Leaders are always on stage. No matter where you, not just leaders, employees, wherever you are, you represent you not only represent yourself, you represent your company, your family, your church, your community, whatever. And if you act like a jerk somewhere, that's going to get back sooner or later, one place or another. So you need to walk the high road all the time. Because you never know who's watching. You never know who's looking at you.
Exactly. So tell me how you would get started. That's a great explanation of an individual and their personal brand. But tell me how you would get started with a corporation. A corporation calls and says, I want to do some brand work. And maybe they know they have an issue. Maybe they don't. Maybe they just want to get better. But what are some of the steps that you take with them in the beginning?
Yeah, great question. So we start with a brand audit now with every company. What do you perceive your brand to be? And then we do the audit. So if it's if it's a bank, we talk to clients, we talk to people who have worked there in the past, current. And typically we'll ask people, what is the brand? And I would say 7 times out of 10, the answer is, well, I'm not exactly sure. And I will ask, ask the CEO and the board member, tell me how you would sell the company to whoever it is. And their answer is, most of the time it's not consistent. So we start with the brand audit. And we do that by questionnaires and, of course, in-person interviews. You can't beat those.
Right.
And then we establish whether or not their brand is truly consistent. And then we establish, hey, is this the right brand? Do we need to update it? Do we need to completely recreate it? Mm-hmm. We need to get on a new track. So that's the beginning. The whole goal of those audits is to ensure the brand is strong, consistent, and then training employees on what that is the bigger part.
Right.
If you can create a great brand, but if they don't know, it doesn't matter anyway.
Wasted money and time for sure. Exactly.
Yeah.
*7 questions. I got a prize. I got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for the first person to give us a question.
So I can relate corporate brand integrity, if you will, to their financial success because those companies that spend time on that are most likely spending time on other things like taking care of employees and making sure that their culture is intact and is what they want it to be. What about me personally? How can I relate my own personal brand? You told the story of the Fortune 5 guy.
Yes.
So I guess I need to decide how I want to show to the world and then just begin to be intentional about making sure that happens all the time.
That's right.
No matter where I am.
No matter where you are.
Okay.
And basic leadership training will say you have to lead yourself before you can lead anybody else.
Right.
It starts with knowing your brand.
Right. So, talk to me a little bit about how a smaller company, I know that going in for a brand audit is a big deal in some companies.
Yes.
But if I'm a small entrepreneurial company, let's say there's very few employees, maybe there's only 5 or there's fewer than 10.
Yes.
How would you go about that?
Sure. Well, we start with the CEO, the founder, the entrepreneur, whoever it is, whose idea it was. And we start with that person. What is their brand? Do they have one? Is it consistent? And if it isn't, then there's work to do. We don't go any further until that question is answered.
Because if they don't believe in it,
it doesn't matter.
It's a lost cause.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, exactly. It starts at the top. And if you don't have the leader bought into it, you're going to fail.
And often in small companies, the boss is doing all the work. And hasn't even thought about his brand, or hasn't certainly, even if he's thought about it, probably has not communicated it very well.
Yes. We have a couple of questions or comments online. What are a couple of core brand attributes that most professionals should exhibit, and how do you do that? Are there some consistent ones across?
Yeah, I would say should exhibit, or typically the consistent ones, people talk about excellence quite a bit. And they talk about integrity as well. So those are the two most common that I hear.
Right.
Those are the two that are, they hold you to a brand new level, don't they?
And I would think, I would think there would probably be as many definitions of excellence as there are people in the room.
Yes.
So can you hone in on that at all?
Can you? Yes. Yeah, and you should certainly our question is, what does integrity mean to you? What does excellence mean to you?
Yeah.
And then if they give us the definition we like to hear, what does it mean? And pursuing excellence in every task, which makes you a good leader anyway, a great leader, in fact,
and we go and we dig into what great do you dress with excellence? Do you speak with excellence? Do you? What do your colleagues think? So it's just the process. But those are the two, I would say, most common.
Okay.
And for most companies, innovation and excellence are two of the most common that we're hearing lately.
Sure. Yeah. Innovation being
right.
Not new, but certainly hot.
Right.
Right.
So
now.
If you're innovative, you're not wearing Crocs to work. Let's just say that out loud.
I joke. You have to have fun at work, right?
There you go. Yeah. There you go. We have another comment. Not a question, but a thought. PB&J notwithstanding. How about internal brand ambassadors within an organization? Other than company leadership, individuals in the corporate setting, someone authentic, transparent in their emotion and their passion for it. So are there brand ambassadors in some of the companies that you've worked with that maybe are not in leadership, but they exhibit those leadership qualities?
Yes, everybody should be a brand ambassador. That's how we communicate to a company.
Every person from the one cutting flowers outside to the janitor to the CEO, in between every single person is a brand ambassador.
Right.
In Tractor Supply, every regional manager, every district manager, every store manager is a brand ambassador, and most of them take tremendous pride in that position.
You're going to love this one.
Oh, good.
Are there any absolute deal breakers to watch out for in how we present ourselves as professionals?
Are there any absolute deal breakers? I would say integrity is the biggest breach that you can have in terms of brand. Can you come back from it? Absolutely. Does it take a long time? 100%. So even if you think that you're making the right decision by it's a small white lie or it's, oh, I'm doing this but nobody will know, those integrity breaches turn into the Grand Canyon, and it is almost impossible, and somebody is always watching. Now, when it comes to the fashion side of brand, I could go on for hours.
Give us a few examples.
For fashion?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and maybe not even well, I'd love to hear the fashion,
yeah.
But I'd also love to hear, to me, someone who can't represent themselves and the company really well, they can't be articulate, they don't know how to make presentations,
yeah.
Or they don't have what we call, and it's so hard to define, as presence.
Yeah.
They don't have leadership presence.
Leadership presence just comes from from knowing who you are. Why am I here? Why was I created? What is my purpose? If you don't have your why, then you're not confident, right? Everything in the world could be taken away from me, and I'm still going to be who I am because I know who I am, right? I have
but
a
not
foundation.
Everyone does.
But not everybody does.
Right.
So that's when we start with brand training. You know, when I first started this, I never thought in a million years I'd be talking to people about their why. Right? You just think, oh, it's going to be fashion and communication, and then after years of doing it, you realize without that why that gives you confidence, you will never have presence. You can speak beautifully, but the presence isn't there.
It's fake.
Totally fake. Yeah. You must know your why.
Exactly.
And it's a little deep, and some people will say, man, that's a little cheesy or a little, you know, feely. Well, it is. But if you don't know it, you don't have it. And every leader that I've ever met at a Fortune company or
doesn't matter, knows their why. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? What is the legacy that you're leaving behind? And then your brand directs all of that, and they're confident.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So back to
the fashion side.
The absolute
no's, good night. There are so many. I would say, remember this if you
remember nothing else when it comes to fashion.
If your company says, look, we wear jeans every day, or we wear, you know, khakis, or whatever it is, we're business casual, nobody is casual. The economy eventually is going to do what it does, and we're going to have another moment, another trial. And so you need to build your brand. It needs to be solid now. So if you're wearing khakis, you're going to wear bonobos.
Right,
which Mary was laughing about earlier. It's a brand of khaki. It's the best of that. So say you're business casual, you need to be the best business casual. If you're if you have a Friday jeans day at work, that means you're wearing a blazer, a blouse, jeans, and a really nice professional shoe. You're not actually wearing
a blazer and a shirt.
You don't change the whole thing. The only thing that changes is the pant. So don't take it seriously. You want to be a part of the pack, but you also want to lead the pack.
Right.
So, you know, jeans, I would say your biggest hazard are jeans. Wear dark wash always only.
Yeah.
Make sure they fit like pants. Fit is king when it comes to fashion.
And look to your boss or the people that you respect the most in the one level higher than you are. They'll be the role model for where you should be going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if they're not setting the tone, lead up and set the tone for, you know, fit.
Wear the clothes that
fit well, and, you know, again, you can, the 360 leadership, right, John Maxwell?
Dress for the job you want.
Leadership 101, right, yeah.
Right.
The lead up, lead sideways, lead down.
Yeah.
There you go. Anything else you want to say?
I'm just following you. So if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay.
I would say know your brand, know your why, know your brand. Don't do any other sort of training until you figure that out.
Right.
Yeah, don't do a communications coach when you have no presence. It really starts with your why, then it goes to your brand attributes, and then you move forward. Without those two things as your foundation, you can be the smartest person in the world but not know your why, and you'll eventually you'll fail, or you'll be good, but could you be better? Could you be excellent? And for those who are listening, they go, I'm already doing all those things. And I'll leave you with this challenge. Are you doing the things that you know all the time, every day? You know, we always say, oh, I know how to do this, and I already know all that. But my challenge is, great, do what you know, and then do what you know every single day.
Consistently.
Consistently.
All day, every day.
That's right. And that's how you win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So any advice to someone who's in an organization, not the CEO, who feels that maybe they should be working on their brand? Or maybe it's someone in the leadership group that knows there's some place to go, there's some upward movement to make. Where do they start? How do they begin, other than calling you?
Yeah,
that's always nice, right?
We're available.
I'm just kidding.
What you really want to focus on, I would go for 30 days and watch how everybody interacts with you. 30 days. And every single day you're intentional about who you are. You have your 5 brand words.
And then watch how people react to you,
how they're emailing you, who is not emailing you back. It's a bit of self-awareness. You know, this is the new famous term that's out everywhere. You know, be self-aware. It's very basic. Just try to be aware about how people are interacting with you and what they're saying, the words that they're using. Are they interrupting you? What are the things that they're doing, good and bad and ugly? And then from there, you can start to you can ask the right question. Why are they doing that? And that's how you really start. Most people that I meet think they're much in a much higher place in terms of people's perceptions than they are. So, you know, I have people come in, they go, everybody likes me. And then we do a 360, and I find out, just kidding, not everybody likes you. That's a tough day, right?
I like you. We'll help you.
Everybody's likable on some level, but it's really the stories that you're sharing. Brand stories are very important. Be aware of the stories that you're sharing about yourself. Most people go without promotion, or they're missed in the audience, or people aren't paying attention to them at the corporation because they're not sharing stories about themselves. People by people, right? So we promote people based upon what we know. If I don't know that you're the best at XYZ, how am I supposed to promote you? So you really need to start sharing stories. If I'm speaking to someone internationally, at some point I'm going to say, hey, by the way, I speak a few languages. My heritage is Serbian. And we're going to relate on some level. If I know that I'm speaking to someone who at Tractor Supply and I'm talking to a regional director, I will say I grew up on a chicken ranch with 50,000 chickens. I'm going to at some point find a
common ground.
Yes. Yeah. Find a point of relation.
We've got a job for you.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm in. So
you have to start sharing those. I tell most executives you need at least 10 stories. And then the hit or miss there is I'm boring. I hear that often. I go, you're not boring. We need to figure out what those stories are. It could be how you were raised, your heritage, the school you went to, whether or not you have 2 parents, 1 parent, whatever it might be. But somehow you need to work those into every conversation in a non-cheesy manner.
People remember stories much more. You can go out and deliver paragraphs worth of words all day long. People don't remember those the way they remember stories.
One more question from the web. Do you have advice for people who may be afraid of what their peers or subordinates or leader feedback might be?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, change can be painful.
So maybe I put it off because I'm afraid of what I might hear.
Yeah.
The sooner you get that feedback, the sooner you can do something about it.
Right.
And the only response you have to negative feedback is thank you for telling me.
Exactly. And those people who are giving you feedback, negative or positive, are doing that because they have an interest in you. So it's the ones that don't tell you that you need to worry about. And I've heard you say a dozen times, Joe, that, you know, those people that would come in and tell you the truth, those are the ones that you treasured.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is, you know, kind of trying to tell you what they think that you want to hear.
Yeah. When anybody delivers you bad news, just say, thank you very much. I'm glad to hear that. I can react to it. And when you do that, other people talk about, gee, the boss listened, and other people will give you feedback when you do that. And feedback is, as they say, the breakfast of champions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And know that you're not alone. Whoever asked that question, know that you're not alone. Most high-level executives every quarter are going to do some type of 360.
Right.
At some point. Know you're not alone, and change is painful. But you can't change what you don't know.
Exactly.
So that's the first step. And there, you know, I joke about this all the time. When I, my mom partially works for the company at times, and I talk her out of retirement. So she loves me and hates me because I've done that. And there are days I walk into the office and I'm very focused on what I should be doing, and I'm not as, you know, hi,
jovial.
How are you, jovial as I should be, right? And she's the first one that says, "What are you doing? Why are you being that way? You know, hello, I'm a human being." Those are the things. And I get that feedback, and sometimes you're the closest people to you are the ones who can be the sweetest, right? But you really do need to have people who will give you that feedback and be honest.
One more question. Is there ever a time when brand guidance, personal or professional, be given from corporate to the individual outside of integrity or the excellence realm? If so, how is that best done? So this person is asking, is there a time when the corporation would give advice to an individual about their personal brand?
Yes. It depends. You know, some company, you have to be very careful there, just depending on what you're talking about, the type of corporation. But 100%, you should be growing your people. You can sort of umbrella that as leadership training, right?
Or mentoring.
Right. I'm mentoring you. I find great a potential in you, and therefore I want to mentor you, and I don't know what the topics are that you want to mentor or change or fix or update, whatever it might be. But yes, you should be doing that, and you know, you can do that through accountability groups, you can do that through seminars. There are so many different ways. And then if a company is hesitant to do that for an individual, there are resources,
right,
you know, out there to help them do that.
Exactly.
The best approach to that is when the boss will coach his subordinate and her subordinate, and you know, here are the issues. Then you have a personal relationship and you have an accountability factor built right in.
Well, not only
when somebody from a head office in a corporation comes out and talks to somebody in the field about something or other, that's really scary. That's avoiding the natural accountabilities of the boss.
That's right. And in addition to being accountable to that boss, don't you think that would build loyalty to that boss?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think I could never thank that person enough for what they had done for me, if they had turned me around and if I was moving in a bad direction.
The greatest rewards I've had in business are when I've been able to coach and help people and see them succeed and see them do well. That's absolutely the best reward of any.
Absolutely.
And that's the test of a true leader, mm-hmm. right? You know, you have even John Maxwell talks about the five levels of leadership, which everybody should read, and very basic leadership, but then you have the fives who are the ones who mentor and lead and build others and spend their lifetime doing it. And, you know, Joe is here as an example of what that looks like, feels like, sounds like,
mm-hmm.
And always open to help and give feedback, even though it might be sometimes painful. But it's good feedback.
It is good feedback.
Yeah.
I want to touch on one more topic, and it might seem frivolous to some who are listening to us, but we always include it in our classes when we're talking about brand and professional image. And that is etiquette. I know that we have talked a lot about it in the past, and we think, oh, gosh, that's so fluffy. I can't even imagine that it would come into play if I were applying for a job or if I were looking to have a promotion. But I think all other things being equal, it might tip the scales in one direction or another.
Just give me an example. Watching some of these folks on television today using four-letter words in delivering speeches is just awful. There's no upside to that. There's only downside. Just conduct yourself professionally all the time. You lose by doing the bad things, and you win, you don't lose by doing the right things.
Exactly.
Just it's awful.
And it's often not a big thing. It's as Danny said this morning, it's dying by a thousand small cuts. It's not any one big thing. It's just a lot of little things that come together. So, dining etiquette, have any comments?
Ooh, well, talk about the ultimate testing ground, right? I mean, sometimes the dining etiquette is your test and you don't even know it.
Exactly.
Sometimes not even the dining part is your test. Sometimes the how do I greet the...
How do I relate to the server?
Yes, sometimes that's the only test. Right? But other times it's being aware. You know, Emily Post has been around a long, long time. This is nothing new. But
but people expect in leadership positions that you are aware, at least aware of the basics.
Right.
And how are you going to act in a dining, when you're having large meetings and you're eating? How are you going to act? How will you represent the company? Again, it goes back to, can your brand, is your personal brand going to complement or kill our corporate brand? And dining actually has quite a bit to do with that, in some industries more than others, certainly.
If you have attended or plan to attend our signature executive program, we will spend hours on that subject, just going through what are the right things to do when you move up to a management or leadership level. What are the right things to do and to do them right? Because if you don't do them right, sometimes you can really submarine your career.
Yeah. Again, you said it exactly right. It's the little things.
Yeah.
And most of the time people don't – I haven't ever met anybody who says, oh, I've been doing that on purpose. You know, most of the time I had no idea. I cannot believe I wasn't aware of that.
Exactly.
And that's okay, that you're not supposed to be good at everything.
Exactly.
So just being more.
But know what you don't know and try to find out how to make it right.
That's right.
Star 7, questions, open for questions now.
I still got that peanut butter and jelly sandwich here. I've got a story to tell you about this general subject. Many years ago, we had a vice president who was about to get on stage we're going to get on stage the next day to speak to 500 people. And he was a country boy, and he was dressing like a country boy. And I took one look at him, and I said, holy cow, we put him up there, and it's going to just look silly. And so I took him up. I took him to the fellow who I bought clothes from and made him buy a suit. We got it altered that night. And with a fresh tie and shirt the next day, and lo and behold, put him up on stage, and he looked like $1 million. And he came across more confidently in the final analysis than he did the day before when he was practicing.
And I think that's part of it, too. If I know that what I'm doing, if I know I'm looking my best, what is it you say? If I look my best,
you feel good, you produce greater results. Yeah.
It's an image that I take on of my own self. That makes me feel better, so I do better work, and it just all goes to a better place.
Oh, certainly. There are hundreds of studies to back that up as well. You know, it's not all – people will say, well, that's frivolous, or that doesn't really matter, and that's, you know, I look good, but sometimes you're covering other things up. You have to start somewhere.
Right.
Right. You have to – if you don't have confidence in who you are and you're just figuring that out and, you know, you've been through some rough moments and rough patches in life, I can tell you it's important – from experience, I speak about this. It's so important to have an image that's who you are on your best day.
Right.
You know, brand helps you to be, knowing your personal brand isn't something that you go, oh, this is, I need to be silly, I need to be cheesy. If you know who you are, we all have bad days. I always joke with Mary, I said I had a bad 6 years once. That's no joke. And through that bad 6 years, I'll tell you that I wasn't always at my best, but I had my brand filter in front of me, and that started in the morning in the closet. I had my words in front of me. And the people that I was blessed enough to be serving that day, whether it's an individual or a company, deserves the best me. So I would get up in the morning, I'd look at those words and go, that's not who I am in this moment because I'm just not feeling it.
Trials are tough in life, right?
But I get up and I look at that and I go, look, everybody deserves excellence for me today. Everybody deserves these four or five things. And passion, which is very hard to give when you're exhausted during a hard time. So I look at those words, and I get dressed that way, and then I start to feel better, and you just feel like you can conquer the world. And if you're working and you're behind the scenes, so many times people, companies will say, well, we'd like you to talk to everybody who's visible, right, all of our agents who are out on the field. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's great, and it's important. But your internal is just as important because the feeling that people have inside, even if you're not, quote, unquote, seen by the public, you see each other. You're either inspiring others or you're not. You're either leading others or you're not. And leadership, it really does. It doesn't begin with image, but it's a huge part of it. It's a third of what you should be focused on.
Okay, another question. Is it possible to have some more discussion on knowing your why? Something for those that might not know how to get there. So how might you start that?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting – everybody wants to be significant. Right, we're created for a purpose in life, right? And this is the stuff that gets me just going because so many people don't know their why and they miss opportunities. And then you're 105 years old and you go, oh, my gosh, I've done all of this, but I don't know why. Right? Nelson Mandela had a why. Margaret Thatcher had a why. That's why she wasn't afraid to do it. She had Winston Churchill had a why. Bill Gates has a why. You have to know your why. And, you know, to get started, again, I say this with
all the confidence in the world, but I know that some of you might say, gosh, this sounds kind of cheesy. But when it comes to your why am I even here? What is my purpose? It really starts with, what are the things that make you sing? What are the things that bring tears to your eyes? Answer those questions. What are the things that make your heart literally move or beat out of your chest? Start writing those down. And eventually, as you start to, it's a longer process than that, of course, and we're, I could go on, this could be like 8 hours right here, the why. But, you know, the search for significance for most people is what they've missed and what holds them back.
Right.
And those people in the 1%, right, we talk about it, we love them, we hate them, 99% of the time, if I ask them, what is your why do you do what you do? Why were you created? What are the gifts that you have? They know. You know, you also start the search for the why, and you ask yourself, everybody's been given gifts and talents that nobody else has. So, Mary, you have a gift that I don't have and vice versa. Joe has a gift that I don't have and vice versa. Everybody has specific gifts that they're created with. And so finding what those are is very important to the why. You know, one of the greatest gifts I believe I have that's been honed through trial by fire is discernment. Being able to be very discerning about how people are feeling and what they need and where they are, and using that gift in what I do and work is a huge win, right? I feel best when I'm helping people to be their best, to create the success that they want. And that's where you can tell now I'm just passionate about it and I get red-faced and I don't mind looking like a total dork, you know, over the phone because that's why I'm here.
Right.
But I'm willing to jump on my head and do cartwheels at this age, if that helps people to get excited about their why on stage, right? I'll do it. Don't double dog dare me, Joe. I'll do a cartwheel right here. But, you know, those are the things that you ask yourself. What are your gifts that you have that you've been given that no one else has? You do something better than everybody else in the world. What is that?
And maybe that's the place that you start. You ask yourself, when am I at my best? And you begin to become more self-aware of those times.
Yes.
So you keep a journal or you write it down at the moment or you just document it in some way so that you keep a list of those are the moments that I feel like I'm at my best. What is it about those moments? And that begins to put the picture together for you.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And everybody has it, you know, and it breaks my heart, and I say that intentionally. It breaks my heart when I meet people, in particular in leadership positions, who go, I think I'm doing an okay job here, but I don't really care. I don't really care. And you just go, oh. It just kills me. You've lost your why. There isn't a purpose. You know, you ask yourself, what is the legacy you want to leave behind to the people you've worked with, to people you've met on the street in Starbucks, right, or in Publix,
right.
And to your children, right? I know exactly the legacy I want every person that I meet to remember and for me to have. You know, Nelson Mandela has a legacy. We could all use the same 3 to 5 words that describe him. Mary, you've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, dozens of times, right? You'll show a picture of Nelson Mandela or Margaret Thatcher. It doesn't matter what class we're teaching. They're always the same
consistent,
words.
Right?
So ask yourself, are people using the same words in every, like Joe said, from church to social to work to, philanthropic organizations? Are all of those people that know you using the same consistent words? Then you know your legacy is on its way.
One other thing that I was aware of years ago with some of the Covey work that I did, and it was about a personal mission statement, which I strongly believe in, but one of the questions that he had was, what are the things that you want people to say about you at your 80th birthday celebration?
Yes.
And how do you have to live today to make sure that that happens?
Mm-hmm.
How is that pulling you as opposed to something artificial or something that is made up pushing you? You know?
100%. That's your filter.
Right. Exactly.
Will this impact me, you know, when at that age, and will this impact what I want them to say? If the answer is yes, stop.
Yeah.
Stop, drop, rethink. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a great conversation. Any more questions? Time for one more. *7 or write your message and hit send on the computer.
Another thought I have about image, and that's whenever you're in conversation with people, just sometimes I see people that just talk incessantly about themselves, and you know, people don't want to hear everything there is to hear about you. And if you have learn the skills to ask questions of other people, and that you think, oh boy, he's concerned about me, he's interested in me, he's learning about me. That get your questions, get a bank of questions in your head ready to ask when you meet people, so that you become an interesting person to them.
And it also helps you find those common threads.
Yeah.
So then you have, something to talk about. Exactly. Become interested, not interesting.
Yes.
One other small point I had here in my notes that doesn't seem to relate to anything else, but guys, listen, shine your shoes. Women always look down at shoes. And if you got scuffed up shoes, that takes 3 points off your score right away.
There you go. There you go.
At least.
Okay, folks, we hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Mila, I want to thank you very much. It's great to be back together with you again. Our next call, I meant to mention this earlier, our next call is July 20th. We have invitations out to 3 spectacular speakers, but we don't have any responses from them yet, but we will have somebody good for you. That's Thursday, July 20th. Thank you all for joining us. The recording will be available in 24 hours. And it'll be on Mila's website
and
on the Work Institute website. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next month. That went very well.